The sermon text this morning from our epistle reading, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, human beings have been in search of a way to connect with the divine, to search out and to find God, to attain to eternal life. What we had originally, the communion with God, the walking with God, and the relationship with God, all of that was busted up. It was smashed. It was broken in the sin of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve succumbed to temptation, and they ate of the forbidden fruit. And there in the Garden of Eden, there was God's law and His gospel. There was God's law. Don't eat of these trees. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of the tree of the tree of life. As far as God said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And we confess, we believe, we teach and confess that this is no myth. It is no story. This is history. This is how sin entered into the world there in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of creation. This is the account of how human beings became estranged from God. After listening to Satan and partaking of the fruit of the tree, the eyes of both Adam and Eve were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and the relationship with God was broken. And in an act of grace and mercy, God cast them out of the garden. Now, that doesn't seem like an act of grace or mercy at all, but in fact, casting them out of the garden was indeed an act of grace and mercy. Can you imagine if God let them succumb to the temptation to eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever? Immortality. Forever. I mean, it sounds great, never dying. But could you imagine living with the effects of sin in your body, in your flesh? All the effects of sin. And it just continuing to get worse and worse and yet never dying. And you imagine living in chronic pain all of the time, living with dreaded diseases, but never have the release of death. Immortality with the effects of sin within our flesh. Eyes failing, joints wearing out, the never-ending pain of cancer or arthritis, but no death. No death to stop it. Yes, death is now our enemy, but by the grace of God in removing Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, we do get to die. Now, because of that first sin, and by the way, what is sin? Okay, you know, I mentioned that last week. What is sin? You know, think about that for a minute. What is sin? We say it all the time. The effects of sin, the first sin, there's this sin. Sin is everything that we do that violates God's holy will and God's law. That's what sin is. It is a denial. It is a declaration of our independence from God. That's what sin is. Sin is every thought, word, and deed that separates us from God and makes us rebels. And we deserve, because of sin, nothing but God's punishment. But, Pastor, God is love. So how can He condemn and punish sinful human beings? Things just don't seem to go together. They don't seem right. Well, it is true that God is love. But God is also just and righteous and holy. In God's justice, He punishes sin. And every one of us, every single one of us commits sin. And you also know quite well, we have, each and every one of us, what is called original sin. That sin that we are born with. That sin that we have that is inherited from our parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. And it is because of original sin that we are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. We have our fists balled up and we shake it under His nose and we say, I will do what I want to do. Get out of my business. Leave me alone. And yet, at the exact same time, we so long and desire to be in His good graces, to please God and to receive His favor and be accepted into eternal life in heaven. So what does man go and do? Listen to the words of the Bible and follow that path to eternal life? Of course not. Of course not. Man instead chooses to invent his own paths, his own ways to eternal life and to eternal salvation, his own path to heaven. And whatever religion there is in the world, whatever religion there is that human beings have invented, there you will find a pathway to heaven. And what does that pathway to heaven consist of? It consists of following the rules of whatever deity is being worshipped and hoping that you will make said God happy. Happy enough that when you die, you get to go to heaven. All these religions and so-called gods, they are really false gods. They don't save. In fact, as we have said before, there are only two religions in the world. There is Christianity, which teaches salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's everybody else. Every other religion, which is simply a religion of law, religion of works. There is only one good news. There is only one gospel religion, one religion that is revealed through God's prophets and apostles, one religion of grace. Every other religion in the world is invented by man and are religions of works. Let's hear from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Nobody by doing is going to be righteous in God's sight. It's impossible. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your way to the glories of heaven. And if we can't earn our salvation, and if we cannot earn our way to the glories of heaven, what is it that we do? How do we achieve this eternal salvation? What did God do? Well, you know what God did. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be born as a baby in Bethlehem. The infinite, uncreated Son of the true and living God became enfleshed for us and for us. And in our place, He kept the whole will and law of God. He did it perfectly. And as God in the flesh, His work was good, not just for one person, not just for 10 or a handful of people. As God in the flesh, His work was good for all people, for all of humanity. God became human to give us life and to give us a relationship with Him. You see, I don't save me. You don't save you. I don't do the work. You don't do the work. That is precisely why it's called being saved. If I could do it by myself, then I would just do it. However, by nature I have sin, and by my nature I have failed. Christianity addresses the sin problem and offers me the peace that comes with having the sin problem taken care of. This is true for all of us. This is true for all of us who are confessing Jesus as our Savior. Everyone who confesses Jesus as their Savior has the peace, has the certainty of being given a new life in the resurrection. And not because you have merited it, not because you have done anything that earns it, but rather quite the opposite. Precisely because you can't earn it, because you can't merit it. It is not your own, but it becomes your own because Christ has given His life for you. In Christ you have a peace that does not fade. You have a promise that is secure. Trust that is at the heart of everything. Evidence-based trust, to be sure, but trust nonetheless. Most religions in the world promote a moral way of living, a moral way to eternal life. And if in the end your deeds are good enough, and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you get into whatever heaven they promise. And many people say, okay, I'll do that. They'll do their best, and they'll hope that God will be kind to them. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity at all. That is what we call a merit-based religion, with acceptance at the end of the relationship. When were you accepted by God? From the beginning, at the start, God chose you. He reached down from heaven. He baptized you in the waters of the Holy Sacrament of Holy Baptism. He made you His own child. He picked you. He chose you. He gives you eternal life. He does it first, so that you are assured of eternal life. He does it so that you can be assured that it is true and it is right and it is real and it is going to be yours because He did it. Anything that you do leaves room for doubt. Anything that you do leaves room for maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. But God does, has no such uncertainty attached to it. What God does is true and right and correct, and will always be, and has been declared to you and upon you and for you in the waters of your baptism through the word of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With Christianity, acceptance is at the beginning of your relationship with God. God does everything by grace, and we accept His grace from Him. Trust for eternal life is not based on what I have done, but based on what Christ has done. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You are chosen in Christ. You are washed in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus' righteousness was placed on you in such a way that when God the Father looks upon you, He looks upon one washed in the blood of the Lamb, dressed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness. He sees you in a righteousness that is imputed to you, given to you. When you could not earn it, you could not pay for it, God chose you in Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you do have eternal life in Jesus. For in Jesus you are saved. In Jesus you are redeemed. In Jesus you are heirs of heaven. And in Jesus you are the children of God. And in that Jesus name, all God's people say, Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, When Adam and Eve rebelled and sin came into the world, all creation fell with them. Instead of destroying everything that you had made, you chose to redeem us. Thank you for sending your Son to pay for our sins, who through his work on our behalf has redeemed all creation. Now we and all you have made implore you for Christ's return, so that we may be fully set free from the bondage to sin and live forever in the glory of the new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy Father, your Son warned his disciples of persecution for proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. Look with compassion on all who suffer for the sake of Jesus. Give them the words to confess Christ as their Savior. Deliver them from their enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of love, you gather a holy nation through your word of grace. Bless parents as they teach your ways to the children. Let your peace rest upon our homes, that the next generation may also be your treasured possession. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of all grace and comfort, through our prayers we ask you to attend to Nancy Olander, as it seems to our eyes she nears the end of her earthly pilgrimage. We pray, dear God, that your will be done, and that we accept your plan for Nancy as a manifestation of your grace and mercy. Strengthen the family who attends to Nancy, and strengthen them in their faith, so that their comfort would ever be in the confidence of eternal life. We also ask you to give earthly comfort to the family of Tom Osborne as they grieve his death. And help each of us, O Lord, to be prepared, for we do not know when the hour of our summons from this life will come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God of all comfort, give healing to the sick. Hear our prayers for Teresa Ricard as she continues her recovery, and for Sue Awe as her seizures continue to manifest in her body. We also pray for Tim Neitzel, who will undergo surgery tomorrow, and we ask that all go well and that Tim would recover swiftly from this surgery and return to the activities of his daily life. Bless, O Lord, the hands of the surgeons that will attend to him, and may his surgery go swiftly and smoothly. Grant that Teresa and Sue and Tim may come to healing to the glory of your name. We pray also for the wounded in spirit and those who grieve the losses that have wounded them in heart and soul. Make them whole and give them courage and comfort in their distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O blessed Lord, through Moses you called a people to yourself, and from them you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his suffering and death, he has redeemed us sinners from our sins. By his resurrection, he has released us from the fear of death. Help us live as your people, doing the good works for which we were created, and praying with confidence the petitions and supplications of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.